You are now listening to the CRC podcast, brought to you by Pastor At Bosif. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Coming right where you are tonight, just lift your hands. Every pastor, every businessman, lawyer, doctor, every young person. You know, there's no distance in the realm of the Spirit, and God is where you are tonight. One touch from God's presence, and everything will change in your life. I read the statistics this week that 60% of our young people are struggling with depression. 27% of young people this last three months have thought about suicide. There's a pandemic out there, but we should not allow that pandemic in us. This is where we come to refresh and revive ourselves in the presence of God. Lift your hands tonight to Him. I don't know where you are, what you are facing, but I want to tell you that God loves you and that the Holy Spirit is with you. And tonight I believe that His wind is going to breathe upon you and in you. He's going to adjust things. He's going to give you wisdom, and He's going to lead you and guide you. Like David said, when he prayed in Psalm 51, he said, God, bring me out of gray exile. So many people have lost their joy and their force to live, their energy, their hope. And David is at that place in Psalm 51. He says, God, do a new thing in me. Put fresh wind in my sails. Quicken me to my purpose again. God, I want to teach sinners your way. You know, when we lose ourselves, we lose not only the way, but we lose the purpose. And tonight I believe that God's talking to many of you to bring you back to Him. In the midst of these raging storms, in the midst of what you are facing, God is bringing you back to Him. And He is your good shepherd, and He's going to lead you, and He's going to guide you. And He's going to bring peace to your troubled heart in the midst of a storm, whatever it may be. So just say this tonight. Come on, lift your hands where you are. Forget your husband now. Put your cell phone off if you're watching television. Don't be busy with 10 devices and get distracted with coffee and eating while you have a moment in God's presence. He needs your undivided attention. Just lift your hands tonight and say this. Pour your spirit out. Say it tonight. Say, Father, pour your spirit out upon my heart in a new way. Put fresh wind in my sails. Open my eyes that I may see your way for me. I know, Father, there is nothing impossible with you, that you can turn any stumbling block into a stepping stone. So, Father, I lift my eyes tonight to the hills, and I know that my help comes from you. You never left me comfortless. You send the Holy Spirit to lead me and to guide me into all truth. I trust you. I release all my fears, all my concerns, all my worries, all my disappointments. I release it to you tonight. And I know, Father, that you hold me in the palm of your hand. I'm not a hopeless, in Jesus' name. Come on, if you believe that, give the Lord a big praise wherever you are. Come on, all over Faith TV tonight. Dr. Andre and Jenny, thank you again for giving us the great opportunity to bring this service live every Sunday night, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, CRC Online, and radio stations. We welcome you tonight to this live broadcast here from Pretoria, Tshwane, the capital of South Africa, and to the many thousands and thousands gathered in this place. What am I talking about? All the angels, amen, reserving your place, waiting for you to return in Jesus' name. Somebody give somebody a high five, a Bluetooth high five, and say soon. Yes, very soon we will be together again in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a very important week. We are meeting with many key pastors all over the country on Thursday, pastors of great movements, and we are gathering a bunch of scientists, etc., to talk about the safe reopening of the church sooner than later. So we believe that in a few weeks from now, We are going to have our young people back in our services, and we're going to get you back in the presence of God, and we're going to have our people back in church, and we're going to have our children back in church, and we're going to glorify God in a safe environment. Can I have a good amen tonight in the name of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Well, that song was absolutely beautiful. A great shout out to the musicians who write the beautiful music. We have about 30 minutes on television. So take your Bibles, open your Bibles with me, go on your iPad, your iPod, and I want to talk to you about tonight very quickly. When you hear the sound, a lot of sounds, a lot of noise, a lot of opinions, a lot of agendas, a lot of uncertainties. We're living in a time where many people are making a lot of sound, and it's not a good sound. We have to know how to withdraw into a safe place, a certain place, a sure place, so that we can hear the right sound. Or we will get lost and overwhelmed by the storms of life and this pandemic. I mean, people are already talking about a third wave. And, you know, the Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want, and God is going to lead us, and God is going to guide us. Come on. In Jesus' name. 2 Samuel chapter 5, front row, pay attention. Thank you. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 70, the Bible says, "Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David, and David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. The Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, and he said, 'Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?' The Lord said to David, 'Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand.' So David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, 'The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water.' Therefore he called the name of the place Baal Perazim." Now Baal Perazim means the God of the breakthrough. Actually plural, the God of many breakthroughs. That means whatever you are facing, God has a breakthrough for you. Amen. I said whatever you are facing, God has a breakthrough for you. God has a plan of deliverance for you. God knows how to get you through the Red Sea safely to the other side. Say tonight, say, "I am still going to the other side." Say it tonight. 2021 will be a year of divine restoration, and I will recover all my losses in the name of Jesus Christ. Say amen and give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. So David defeats the enemy, and the Bible says the images were left there, and David and his men carried them away. I said it this morning that the time is going to come when COVID wards will be empty, and COVID will be a bad memory, and the church of Jesus will be arising in glory, and we are going to be free to preach the gospel in stadiums, and we are going to reach more people for Jesus Christ, and we are going to feed more people, and we will bring the gospel to the nations of the earth, because what God has intended, no man, no devil in hell can stop. The images of Satan will come down, the spirit of deception will be broken, and the name of Jesus will be glorified. Shout amen in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So then the Philistines went up once again, second wave, worse than the first wave. A second attack is always more intense than the first attack if you have a military background. Deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Therefore David inquired of the Lord a second time. He doesn't assume. He runs back to God and he talks to God about 2021. He spoke to God about 2020. He spoke to God in the first attack, the first wave, and God guided him. God navigated him. And then a second wave came, a second attack came, and David inquires of God, and again, God gives him a divine strategy. A divine strategy. A different strategy. So David inquires of the Lord, and God said to him, "You shall not go up. Circle around behind them and come up in the front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be when," everybody say when, You hear the sound of the marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly. For then the Lord will go out before you and strike the camp of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord commanded him. And he drove back the Philistines from Geba to Gezer. So David defeats the first attack and the second attack. And if there was a third wave, he would have defeated the third wave and the fourth wave. One thing David did not do, he did not become passive. He did not become filled with fear. He did not go and sit in a corner and outwait the battle. Because my brother, when Goliath shows up, you have to step up to the battle. You have to face your battle. When the devil shows up, you cannot put your tail between your legs and run the other way. You have to man up. You have to stand up with God on your side, and you have to walk through to the other side in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, these circumstances have no relevance on God's word. David is anointed king. The Philistines try to throw him out of his destiny. And I want to say to you again, nothing can stop your destiny. People can delay your destiny, but they cannot stop your destiny. There may be a detour, but they cannot stop your destiny. If God meant it for you, it shall be. Even if you find yourself in the pit, in the pot, in the prison, you will end up in the palace in God's divine timing. I want to tell you that God has your back. I want to tell you that God's wind on the inside is going to carry you through every storm, that God's going to lead you, God's going to guide you, God's going to sustain you even in the fiery furnace. God is going to make a way where there seems to be no way, and you are going to come back stronger. Every pastor, every church, shout amen. We will see our altars fuller than before. We will see our stadiums fuller than before. We will build greater churches for God. We will preach louder than ever before. Somebody shout amen. Oh, come on, give him a bit of a praise in this house tonight. Hallelujah. So David defeats the enemy by doing two things. He inquires of God, then he acts on the word of God. Well, that's a massive key, family, because we're not going to advance in life by shutting God out. I said it this morning at Ziklag, David did the same. He inquired. It's like today, that movie that was, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. It's almost like the world is saying, and many Christians are saying, Honey, I shrunk God. I prayed this morning at the end of the service. It wasn't on television. Go catch it on live stream, on our live stream. And I prayed for the church. And I felt the heart of God for the church. First time in years. I've had the anointing come upon me in many different ways. But it was like a blanket, a mantle that came upon me that I cannot even explain. Can't even express what I felt. As I was praying for the church, as I was praying for God to give us our desire to come back together again and to fellowship. And I just felt the heart of God for His church. And how God's heart was aching for His people. How God's heart was almost like crying out for His people, for His church. To be together. Because that's how God designed us. That even in this moment, He's still our protector. Listen to me. In this moment, He is still our safe keeper. In this moment, He is still our defense. In this moment, He is still our provider. He is still our God. God is not dead. He's alive. And He's with us on the battlefield. But we cannot minimize Him with our thoughts. And listen to every other sound. Many of those people they make a wise sound. They make a sound according to the world. They make a sound according to what people want us to hear. But we live differently. We live tuned into heaven. We live tuned in to radio revival. We live tuned in to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We live rooted in the Word of God. No matter what Satan throws against us, we have the guarantee that we have an inner sound. Samuel, 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 the voice of God speaking, listening on the inside. Elijah, in the valley of discouragement. What are you doing here? Why are you in lockdown? Go return. You know, when the Word of God comes to you, He activates you. He inspires you. He empowers you. The voice of God never leaves you where He finds you. Nothing like God's voice. when you hear that inner voice, no matter how big your battle, and I've had some big battles, forget this COVID now for a moment, many other challenges, things that we have done, projects that we have done that I've not known, where's the money going to come from, how are we ever going to do this, many, many battles that I have fought, and God has kept me and sustained me, and the only thing that has kept me sane is the wonderful Holy Spirit, the ability to discern the Word of God when all seems lost, when you're caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. There is that still small voice that says, I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm with you to the end of time. This is how David lived. When you hear the sound, I think many people miss the opportunities that God has for them. Opportunities pass them by because people are so focused on all the storms and the waves and the negativities that they cannot see the opportunities. And sometimes they want to have a meeting when God says, when you hear the sound, when you hear the sound, oh Church of Jesus, we have to tune in to the sound of heaven. We have to listen for the sound of heaven. We have to listen for the rustling sound of the Holy Ghost. We have to listen for the stirring of the Holy Ghost in our hearts. And when we hear the sound, we better get ready. We better advance. We better move in our businesses. We better expand. We better open our churches. We better preach louder. We better pray louder. Praise louder in Jesus' name. Somebody jump out of your seat and give Jesus a praise because you can. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Come on, praise Him like you mean it. So I believe with all my heart that God wants to lead you through the storm. The storms that have come with this pandemic victoriously. Psalm 20 verse, or Proverbs 20, 27, the Bible says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord and searches all the inner depths of his heart. Romans 8 verse 14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of a bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. He's still my father. He still has my back. He still says, don't worry about the future. I will lead you and I will guide you. You have received the spirit of sonship and daughtership. I will lead you through every adversity, through every storm, every valley. I'm still your God. I'm more than your God. I'm your father. Do we forget that we have a safe place where we can go and talk, commune, Abba? Father, that we can draw into the presence of God. And one of the reasons why I believe it's so important for the church to open is because we just go to the Bible for the illustration that on the day of Pentecost, God birthed His church when everybody was together. I mean, He could have put a fire on everybody individually in their homes, but it doesn't work like that. Because everybody that briflays in South Africa knows you put the coals together. And while they are together, they glow bright and red and strong. You put one of them there, just a little bit. Isolation, depression, anxiety, disconnection. We are designed to be together. Bible says the church is built a dwelling place of God by the Holy Spirit. So as much as people come and say, well, we are the church. Like a yay. It's like saying, I'm going to have a briflays and I'm not going to put the coals together. I'm going to put one coal in my living room, one coal over there, and I'm going to light the fire. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. And as much as we thank God for technology, technology is never going to place koinonia. Let's not be hypocritical when it comes to the Church of Jesus, and everybody makes a sound and has an opinion. There's a pattern. In the Old Testament, God built a tabernacle, and everybody that sought God had to go to the tabernacle, had to go to the priest. New Testament, we understand that the body of Jesus that was broken is the tabernacle, and our access into the presence of God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Yet, same Hebrews chapter 10 that talks about access into the presence of God talks about not neglecting the assembling of yourselves together, because that's where we fellowship, not just upward, but vertically, horizontally as well. That's the church, our Father. We're not going to experience the fullness of God while we live in isolation. If we're going to be half smart, we're going to shout out every voice that is trying to keep us isolated and separated, and we are going to pray for the church. Those of us who understand what the church is, oh, we know it's not a building, but it is when people come together and they fellowship together. The same people that say that the church should not be open are people that post on social media their Christmas pictures where they were together as families. And they say, I'm so grateful for my family. And Jesus says, they are my family. Those who hear the word and do the word, they are my family. So if you believe that churches should not open, then please do not have any physical relationship with your sons and your daughters, your husbands, your wives, or anybody any longer. Just talk to them on social media and let's see how well that goes. And the church is above that. So we need to hear the sound of God. And we need to act proactively for the sake of God's kingdom. I said for the sake of God's kingdom. Not for the sake of just living life. I mean, David was anointed king for one purpose, and that was to expand God's kingdom. Not just to make money and to act all safe. What happens to those people who die without Jesus? What happened to that man that was in one of our hospitals and for 5 days he didn't get a meal? Went to hospital to be cared for and he died of starvation. I listened to a testimony of somebody that fought COVID for 2 months, and he said the hardest part of this COVID was that there was nobody. And I wanted to give up so many times because there was nobody. There was nobody. I believe people would recover much quicker if there are people at their bedside, but we are so afraid. We are so afraid. We are so afraid. We are so afraid to die. We are so afraid of everything else there, except when it comes to buying clothes and food and cinemas and shopping centers and everything else. Suddenly, when it comes to what matters, we're afraid. We need a new wind. We need a different sound. We need to shut CNN out. Shut these false statistics out. Much of it is false. I had an architect, I said it this morning, I'll say it again. And many people have said, my dad went to a hospital and then he died and they said it was COVID, but he never had COVID. He died of a ruptured ulcer. Ulcer. Suddenly nobody dies of anything else. And if we're afraid of death, why? If we're so afraid, why are we alive? If God predestined us for this hour to be responsible to all these sounds and people that claim to be intellectual, and some of them sit in places of authority and they have their opinion about what God or the church should do. Well, my question is, when you stand before Jesus one day, what will you give account for? Those who are now the leaders in the church will give account for the church, watching over the souls of people and the spiritual welfare of people, the true apostles, the true prophets, the true evangelists, the true pastors, and the true teachers. And if you're not one of those, it's not your time to voice your opinion about what the church should be doing. You're not in a headship ministry. Time to pray for your leaders. Trust your leaders. Those who are enemies of the church, let them remain enemies. Those who hate the church, may they continue to hate the church unless God saves them. But we will not be intimidated by the mockers and the scoffers and the haters and the intimidators and the liars and the deceivers that want to take the church of Jesus Christ out of society. We will see the church of Jesus arise and shine with a new glory to bring hope to our world. Like people with many degrees are not so intellectual. They have degrees, but they very often say the most stupid things that are so unbiblical. If you attack, you need to gather your battalion. You don't send your soldiers in isolation and think you'll defeat the enemy. Christians, your challenge is that you become passive. Your challenge is that you become comfortable. Your challenge is that you hide behind the church. It's not safe, but every day you are out there in the world. You are in a shopping center. You sit in the restaurant. You visit your friends. You live like there's no lockdown, except when it comes to the church of Jesus Christ. Can you not see that this is a battle between light and darkness? When you hear the sound, we don't need a sound of fear. We don't need a sound of unbelief. We need those who discern the word of the Lord and who will lead unapologetic with the favor of God. Let me say it very quickly. Opening our churches responsibly. Securing the physical welfare of our people, but also their spiritual welfare. Opening our buildings COVID-free. And focusing on our greater responsibility. Because you're not doing okay by yourself. Then 60% of our young people would not be struggling with depression. Come and talk about your theories. Stop all the debates. As a man of God, get yourself in the presence of God. Woman of God, go get the mind of God, not the mind of the media. I know that there are some pastors that have been reckless, but let me say this. I wonder what the media would have said about the early church pastors who opened prayer meetings and they knew people who went there would be killed. I'm just throwing it in there. Oh, the Apostle Peter doesn't care about people. The Apostle Paul doesn't care about people. The Apostle John just calls himself the Apostle of Love, but he has no care or concern about people. Don't they know that if people come to our prayer meetings or church meetings, they're going to be persecuted, they're going to be killed, they're going to be stoned? They have no love for the people. But yet that understanding that is lacking today, an understanding of what it's all about. It's about the souls of humanity. It's about people that are lost with Jesus, that are damned for eternity. It's like pastors are no longer fully persuaded that people that are not born again doesn't go to hell. It's like just all unite with everybody else to make our world safe. Eli sat on his porch and he fell over and he broke his neck. You're going to die. I'm saying live foolish. But I'm saying we better live purposeful. Because when it comes to running your business, you're not afraid. Every morning I go to gym, I have to stand in a line. People are not afraid. But when it comes to the most important thing, the thing Jesus died for, the thing Jesus said, I will build on the earth, the thing that Jesus is coming back for, the church of Jesus Christ, suddenly everybody wants to put the church under. But I want to tell you what is under will get to the top. God is going to glorify His church. God is going to elevate His church. God is going to bless His church in this land and in the nations of the earth. Every believer out there, say amen and give the Lord a praise if you can in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So the early church, I have to close, live tuned in to the Holy Ghost, not just for their personal lives and just to survive. But even as persecution came, they were scattered and they preached the gospel. Are we still preaching the gospel? Are we still reaching out to our friends? Are we still getting people saved in our homes, our businesses? Are we I just don't want to die. And you're not doing what you're supposed to do, which is to preach the gospel, which is to live a life of purpose, which is to believe while you serve your purpose, God Himself can keep you alive and will keep you alive. God. So God promises to guide us. I have to close with two scriptures. Acts 16 verse 6. Bible says when they had gone through Phrygia, the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia because the time wasn't right. When? Then. Not before. So when the sheep are afraid, we act like shepherds and we calm the sheep. But then there's a time that we have to tell the sheep, come back to the fold. We have to get on with kingdom business. We can't be afraid for the whole 2021. My goodness me, what spirit lives in us? The spirit that raised Christ from the dead. The greater one lives in us. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind in Jesus' name. We're not afraid. We're not foolish, but we're not afraid. Then they came to Mysia. They tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. They followed the inner compass. Go watch this morning's message. I spoke about that. Then Acts chapter 20, the attitude of consecration through the life of the Apostle Paul. So he has to be imprisoned in Jerusalem because of his greater cause, which is to go and preach the gospel to Rome. And he has to climb on a boat and risk his life, knowing that the journey will be full of danger, and yet knowing that God was going to keep him alive because of his greater purpose. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So Acts 20:22 to 24 in the Passion Translation, the Bible says, and now I'm being compelled by the Holy Spirit. It's one thing to get a hold of God. It's another thing when God gets hold of you. Like this morning when I was praying, this blanket, I can't even explain it, this weight. When God anointed me as an evangelist, it was something that was a rushing anointing, it was fire. This was different. It was like a blanket, like a weight. And I just felt God's heart in a moment. Sometimes when you have an encounter with God, you receive so much you can't even put it in words. And I felt God looking at us, saying, trust me. Trust me. Trust me. And I almost felt like the Holy Spirit grieved that we're almost in a place that we don't believe that God can keep us safe. We don't believe. And people are dying. You say, Pastor, you're overdramatic. No. I'm emotional because I know what is at stake. While we play it safe. Being compelled by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem without really knowing what will happen out there to me. Yet I know that the Holy Spirit warns me. When God guides you, if you take a wrong course, He'll warn you. He'll protect you. He'll redirect you. But He's never going to leave you and He's never going to forsake you. In town after town, saying chains and afflictions are prepared for me. Listen now. But whether I live or die is not important. For I don't esteem my life as indispensable. It's more important for me to fulfill my destiny and to finish the ministry my Lord Jesus has assigned to me, which is to faithfully preach the wonderful news of God's grace. As great as television ministry is, very few sinners are watching Christian TV. The church is the place where sinners come. The church is the place people get saved. The church is the place people invite people. Tuesday night, in a closed leaders meeting, I will talk about this and the way forward. Your pastors will talk to you off the record. Because we don't entertain those who spy out our liberties and are enemies of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are yet to take responsibility. Tonight you're sitting and you've watched me. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. If you died tonight, you don't know where you would spend eternity. Maybe you've lost your fire for Jesus. Maybe like the prodigal, you've walked away from God. I want you to pray this prayer tonight. Put your hand on your heart right there where you are for a new beginning. That's what David says. He says, God, give me a new beginning. When you give God the rightful place, everything changes. Put your hand on your heart right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you access to my heart. Thank you that you died for my sin. Thank you that you rose from the grave. I believe you're alive. Forgive my sin. Give me the power to live for you. I surrender my life to you. Thank you for a fresh start in Jesus' name. We love you. Write us. There's an address. God bless you. Oh, come on, the angels in heaven are rejoicing with all those people tonight. Come on.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.